from Brahmana society, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his grace, made them first class Vaishnavas. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Simad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasate Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nivase Sasunyavari Paskatyari Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garada Sivasadi Go Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Sarva Bhaksha Dvija Vridhya Idrita Vridhya Tapu Vrata, Vita dehendriya rama ya chaka vicharant viva. Here we have another curse upon the Brahmanas. These Brahmanas, says Nandishvara, the servant of Lord Shiva who was offended by Daksha, these Brahmanas take to education, austerity and vows only for the purpose of maintaining the body. They shall be devoid of discrimination between what to eat and what not to eat. They will acquire money, begging from door to door, simply for the satisfaction of the body. Another curse. So let us first understand the context. Once Daksha, the Prajapati, one of the Prajapatis, who was popularizing the universe with children of different kinds in different species, was conducting a huge yagya. In this yagya, he was the president, the chief, and when he entered the sacrificial arena, everyone rose from their seats to greet him with respects, except for his son-in-law, Shiva. He was engaged in meditation upon the lotus feet of Lord Shankarshan, from whom he receives all his power. Now the purpose of offering obeisances is to respect the supersoul in the heart of the one whom one offers obeisances and respects to. And Shiva, by meditating upon the Supersoul, had fulfilled that purpose. However, Daksha, who was proud of his prestigious position of one as one of the leaders of the universal affairs, demanded respect, but not respect for God, respect for himself. And he became furious. He cursed Lord Shiva and his followers in filthy language. And as a result of that, Lord Shiva's servant became highly agitated. Lord Shiva's staunch service is his carrier, the bull Nandishvara. And he pronounced 3 curses. Daksha has accepted the body as all in all. Therefore, since he has forgotten the Vishnupada or Vishnugati, those who are disciples of Srila Harikesh Maharaj, who is called by his disciples Sri Vishnupad, are able to rejoice here. They have therefore, since he has forgotten the Vishnupada or Vishnugati, Gati means goal, and is attached to sex life only, within a short time he will have the face of a goat. Those who have become as dull as matter by cultivating materialistic education and intelligence are nascently involved in fruitive activities. Such men have purposely insulted Lord Shiva. May they continue in the cycle of repeated birth and death. May those who are envious of Lord Shiva, being attracted by the flowery language of the enchanting Vedic promises, and who have thus become dull, always remain attached to fruitive activities. And this shloka, these brahmanas take to education, austerity and vows only for the purpose of maintaining the body. They shall be devoid of discrimination between what to eat and what not to eat. They will acquire money, begging from door to door, simply for the satisfaction of the body. So, in other words, pride precedeth a fall. Those who are vainly proud on their material position, janmaishvarya, and janma means birth, aishvarya means wealth, shrudha means learning or education, and shribhir means material beauty. Those who are attached to four kinds of material identifications, they are forced to have a demeaning attitude towards the Vaishnavas. Someone who is proud cannot associate with devotees. He will, in fact, utilize the time spent, and if it is only a lava mata, the 11th of a second, not for Saravasi Siddhi, for attaining all perfections. He will use that time of associating for offending the great souls, and in this way paving his own degradation to hell. In the Vaishnava is a walking representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead on this earth. After Maharaj Rahuganal had committed his cardinal offense against the lotus feet of Bharat Maharaj, and was subsequently given a solid lesson, he woke up and understood his mistake. He said, "Oh, I offer my most humble obeisances to those great souls who walk in disguise upon the face of the earth. Sometimes they are appearing as little children, sometimes as saintly devotees, and sometimes as avadhutas." That means transcendentalists who are beyond the purview of Vedic rules and regulations. They wander upon the face of the earth to purify its sinful inhabitants. This is what devotees are doing. They carry the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the craw of their hearts, and associating with them and hearing from them is opening the path to faith in the Lord, to attraction towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and ultimately to ruchi, to arati, that means love and attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Coming together with Vaishnavas means the material nature releases its clutches upon a conditioned soul. Maya has us in her grip. But if we are able to associate with devotees, the grip loosens. Maya lets go. This is described in the Matya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. There, the living entity is compared to a log of wood who is violently pushed downstream in a raging river. All of us are in such a raging river of material existence. To just give you a little understanding of what that raging river is, you can understand it physically or picturesly as you like. Those who are rationalistic in their approach to to reality might prefer the physical approach. Our body is constantly changing. There is a stream of atoms always acting and interacting, changing our cells, which are the building blocks of our physical body. To give a simple example, we would like to draw the attention towards a phenomena which can be observed in Iceland. There you have these geysers, this is a German word, and hot springs is an English word for that. Through those hot springs, there is a constant rush of water jumping as to touch the sky. There's constantly new water forced through that little hole in the earth. In a similar way, our body is within a constant change. We, of course, constantly eat, and through our metabolism transform the food which we intake into new bodily cells. There is a constant stream flowing through our body, not only through our gross body, but also through our minds. Constantly new thoughts are entering, branching off into different other thoughts. Just like Maharaj Bharata explains to Rahugana that the mental world is constantly branching off. There are constantly interactions of thoughts who build new little branches. That's, in other words, our being is in a constant change, in a constant flow, so to say. So this material body is such a stream where powerful senses are dragging the soul towards material objects. See, not only that your body is constantly streaming or flowing, but your connection to matter is in constant rush. We are constantly drawn to and reacting towards material objects. Therefore, Vidura says, make sense control your raft. Raft is floß in Deutsch. And cross the river of material existence. What a nice shloka, which becomes intelligible by giving a physical and a picturesque description of the changing reality of material life. So the living entity is being forced downstream through the, on this river of material existence. Once I remember this, I will dedicate this little story to Lagu Haridas. Once when we were with Padayatra in the Himalayan mountains, we made our camp on the side of the Ganga. So then we walked upwards towards Rishikesh and onwards to chant and distribute books and so on, and then wanted to return. So devotees felt a little lazy to return by foot and thought, let's just jump into the Ganga, which at that place is quite wild. So we had seen in the morning these simple farmers who mounted some logs and in this way were floating down on top of the wooden logs. And we thought that we can also do. We took our dhotis, made two logs, tied them together, and then went onto this primitive surfing board to be driven downstream. But it was hellish. We were being thrown against these rocks which were in midstream, and it was not possible to really steer these wooden logs, these primitive rafts, and we attained a good number of scars and bruises on our fragile, delicate Western bodies, and came finally reached our camp, you know, like soldiers who had lost a battle. Some of them came without Brahmin underwears because in the course of drifting they had, you know, just taken the Brahmin underwears and tried to tie and, you know, manage and manipulate the steering, but it just didn't work. It was difficult. You know, once you enter this this gushing stream of the Ganga, you can't really, especially if you can't steer, you know, bring your logs on the side of the river and, you know, just evade or get out of your predicament. It's not possible. So, Hare Krishna. So this is a nice picture for the adventurous minded. Those who, the conditioned soul is violently pushed down the stream of material existence. And it only stops when we come under the shelter of devotees, just like logs who are, you know, coming on these little sandbanks or islands within the river, our destructive course comes to a halt when we meet the Vaishnavas. In the hearts of the Vaishnavas, there is a Shakti, a divine energy implanted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And coming in contact with the devotees means to come in contact with this energy. Therefore, we often see that demons who meet devotees react very, very disturbed. Sometimes when we are walking down the Kudam or some other populated road, and demons see us in our Vaishnava dress, they become shocked, fall down, and in this way react very, very disturbed, because they also sense this energy. Especially a devotee who is more advanced in Krishna consciousness and whose coverings have been more or less purified, when meeting upon others, is immediately very is transferring the bhakti shakti. Therefore, when associating with devotees, three things are very important. We should drink the water which has washed their feet. It's sometimes very difficult to obtain. We should touch the dust which has is coming from their feet. That is more simple. And we should eat the remnants of prasadam which is coming from their plates. Because by these three processes, the highly infectious bhakti shakti is transmitted. Prabhupada said, just like a tuberculosis patient, if you touch his food, you also get it. So when you touch the remnants from the plate of the Vaishnava, you also get the bhakti shakti. But of course, the mercy of the Vaishnava is received actually in the best way through the ear organ, through hearing his instruction and following them. So those who do not recognize the Vaishnava, but who commit offense against the Vaishnava, they in turn do not become advanced in Krishna consciousness. There is a curse upon the offender of the Vaishnavas, pronounced here in very clear language. They will be bereft of transcendental knowledge. They will be always attached to fruitive activities and therefore revolve in the cycle of birth and death. And Daksha, even who was so bad, he got the face of a goat. It is described in one of the Puranas that someone who uses foul language, he will get a very foul breath in his next life. So those of you who do not come out well in the breath test might consider that they were offenders in their last life. Now, those, this is a little spice, those who of course use foul language against Vaishnavas, they will even have more bad situations in their next life. This was the case of with ordinary persons. There's a book, a Vedic Purana, which describes all the results of fruitive activity. It's a Vishnu Sanghita, which describes what you get when you do what. It's quite amazing. So, please let us not think, oh, this is a fairy tale myth. Let us, as a proof for the effectiveness of this curse, objectively analyze the brahmanas in Kali Yuga. And if we take one sample from Puri, a scoop from the brahmanas of Puri, and analyze them, we can see that all these curses have taken effect. We had the pleasure to associate with Maharaj Divya Singh Dev. No, Gajapati Maharaj Divya Singh Dev. That is the king of Puri who has become attracted to Srila Prabhupada's movement. He has become a life patron member and is a strong supporter of Krishna consciousness. He is presently on a Europe tour, and our Swiss devotees will be able to receive him. He is a very, very, very nice personality. This Maharaj Divya Singh Dev is the chairman of the council which manages the Puri temple. The Puri temple is under the control of 5,000 sevakas, that means pujaris who are caste Brahmins, that means Brahmanas by birth, and who strongly object that Western Vaishnavas with Western bodies enter the temple and have darshan of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada himself was talking with a group of these sevakas and told them, the Lord is called Jagannath, the Lord of the universe. He is not Purinath or not Brahmananath. He is Jagannath. He was preaching very strongly. And they had no arguments actually, but still they maintained this. So when Gajabhadi was here, I of course took it as my chance, and therefore we arranged a meeting with two scholars, Dr. Chopra and Professor Weber, and I told them, it was an Indian and a Western professor, that the Western intellectuals are highly enraged by this religious discrimination. I didn't say it myself, but I sent them forward, so to say. When we received the kingdom in the king in the house of Professor Weber. So I had a discussion before with Professor Weber and told him all the arguments which he should say in my turn. I was just watching how the king would react. So Professor Weber said, and so the king said, Professor Weber, please come and visit me in Puri. And Professor Weber said, no, I can't enter and see Jagannath. Therefore, I won't come. Wow. The king was shocked. Yes, said Professor Weber, this is not proper. And the Puri king, he was swallowing. Now, he's a very, very nice man. And he, as a person, wants to see that ISKCON devotees enter. But he said, well, you have to see that we are not actually in control. It's the sevakas, the pujaris, who are in control. They cannot imagine that a Westerner becomes a Vaishnav. So, for them, this is impossible. They cannot understand it. My only recommendation is that ISKCON starts a temple in Puri so that the pujaris see. But if the pujaris don't agree, and we, you might know, Indira Gandhi herself wanted to see Jagannath, but the pujari said, no, you can't come in. She, at the time when she was president. When the pujaris don't agree, we are powerless. Our position, king, is a position in name only. So the Puri Brahmanas, it is known that they don't know what to eat and what not to eat. This was the curse here. Upon 28. They shall be devoid of discrimination between what to eat and what not to eat. They eat fish. They will acquire money simply for the satisfaction of the body. Prabhupada and the purpose, his purport of this shlok highly criticizes this. This lack of transcendental vision in the case of the Puri Brahmanas. This is there because, just please see this address the rational portion of your material contamination, which might say sometimes, oh, well, we can't take everything which we read here, verbatim. word for word. But here you see how the curse is pronounced in a sacrificial, in a remote sacrificial arena, maybe millions of years before, are taking effect in the age of Kali. I think this is so so enthusing and so wonderful to see how the Bhagavatam, even in tiniest details, is true, because it is spoken from a transcendental point of view. So to end this, we want to say that this curse of the Brahman, of the Nandishvara, the servant of the great Vaishnava Lord Shiva, has affected the Brahmanas as a group for many, many, many years. If we go down to the Vaishnava history, in the Vaishnava history, we meet one Alva, who was living 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. So this Alva appeared in the family of Shudras. Now the Alvas had many times very transcendental sources of birth. Some of them were all of a sudden found under a bush. Some were lying on a lotus flower in a pond as embryo, as little babies, and were reared by devata, by residents from other planets. So some were reared, aufgezogen, by carpenters. One was reared by a wrestler and became expert in throwing the lance and wrestling. So one of these alvas was, so to say, born or appeared in a Shudra family. They all appeared in a transcendental way. So he was glorifying the Lord Sri Rangam with choicest shlokas. He had his instrument, the veena, and was constantly glorifying the Lord. Now, at the time, the worship of the temple was in the hands of the brahmanas, the caste brahmanas, and on one particular day, the chief pujari went to take his bath in the Kaveri River. When he returned, he saw 200 meters or 100 meters before him this alva sitting on the side of the road and glorifying the Lord with his veena. He was very offended, this chief pujari. He was riding on an elephant in procession. He was a big guy, and felt that he had now taken his bath and he should not even walk near a Shudra, this Alva, who was singing and glorifying the Lord. He felt he would be contaminated. Therefore, he took a couple of stones and just threw them and shouted, "Get up! I want to pass!" So the Alva was in complete ecstasy. You know, when the stones hit him, he saw what was happening, and he silently left the path and went into the jungle. What an offense. So this chief pujari was returning. He was late. He wanted to enter through the main gate, but he found the gate closed. So he knocked. Dun, dun, dun. "Let me in, let me in. I'm late for the puja." whatever that is in English. We are all locked out. Locked out, huh? We can't enter. Oh, said the Brahmana, this is serious. The time of the worship is coming. They didn't have a wristwatch. The time of the worship is coming. No one is in there who can serve Sri Ranganath. No, we are all locked out. This has never happened. And the doors are closed. This also has never happened. What to do? Well, then we can't do the puja. So the Brahmana said, what? We can't do the puja. This is a scandal. And he banged against the door. Is there someone? Let me in. So then all of a sudden, from the Sanctus Sanctorum, that is the inner part of the temple, came a voice, a godly or a divine voice. You will not continue your puja any longer because you have offended my pure devotee. You're all locked out. Goodbye. This was not this goodbye, I think he didn't say, but the Lord made it, Godaspadin made it quite clear. Since you have offended my Vaishnava, the devotee, you have no right into the temple any longer. Yes. This is the situation. Only, the voice continued, only if you carry my pure devotee on your shoulders 3 times around the temple compound, then you will be allowed to enter. So they had Bhujari said, oh no, what have I done? What have I done? I'm ignorant, no transcendental knowledge, devoid of discrimination. He went and searched the Alva, but he couldn't find the Alva, who was somewhere else chanting the Lord's glory. So finally, when he found him, the Alva saw him coming and he ran away just in order to avoid the same situation again. He ran away. Stop, please stop. Please stop and let me carry you on my shoulders. And Alva said, no, this is, what is happening? What is he doing? What vicious plan he has in his mind? Or has he turned mad? So finally, the head pujari forcibly grabbed the Alva, forcibly put him on his shoulder, and made 2-3 turns around the temple. This is the fact. So, we as brahmanas in the transcendental, in the Krishna conscious movement, are fully entitled, according to the verdict of the shastras, to be brahmanas if there was a proper initiation and if there is a proper conduct of brahmanas. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives the brahminical conduct. Shamudamas tapascho cham chanti arjavam eva cha jnanam vijnanam ashtikyam brahmakaramas vabhavajam. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. These are the natural qualifications by which the brahmanas work. So, in our Krishna consciousness movement, we have such highly qualified brahmanas who are for the benefit of the conditioned souls walking upon the surface of the earth in order to purify whoever comes in contact with them by preaching the gospel of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is an important point. Now, as brahmanas, in the Krishna consciousness movement, we have to be aware of the pitfalls to our life. It is not that once we have attained the second initiation or any kind of initiation into a Krishna conscious in spiritual life that we become pride and puffed up. If we do, we enter the glide the road to our own downfall. In order to be properly situated, also as devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement, whatever is our status, we have to cultivate the qualities of humility. Now, humility becomes very difficult, almost an impossible word for someone who is not looking at things with a transcendental vision. To look at things with a transcendental vision means to keep Krishna in the forefront of our attention. Someone who is Krishna consciousness is humble. Someone who is not Krishna consciousness has no transcendental vision and is bound to become attached to his body and subsequently to positions which the body takes in whatever hierarchy, whatever society it is conveniently or inconveniently placed. To become Krishna consciousness, and I want to end this lecture this morning, there are some very nice tips which might help us to maintain our transcendental vision and also our eagerness to be in Krishna consciousness. I'm taking this now from a morning walk in which Srila Prabhupada answers some very relevant questions which are placed before him by devotees. So please, you are now walking with Srila Prabhupada in some place which has been transformed by the touch of his lotus feet in Vaikuntha, and now let us hear Prabhupada. Those who do not care are life after life changing their bodies. Again birth, again death, again in the womb of the mother. They do not understand how risky life is. Now, in Kali Yuga, the mother is killing the child. Even within the womb of the mother, one is not safe. They do not understand how difficult and troublesome it is to enter again into the womb of the mother, all for want of education. Devotees, so those persons who do not take even the material predicament seriously, then it is the same when they see our devotees. They do not take us seriously. Srila Prabhupada, no, they are given a chance. Even if they fall down, they are guaranteed the best life in their next birth. And you can see here, Prabhupada speaks of those who take up in some way Krishna consciousness, but who are not serious. No, they are given a chance. Even if they fall down, they are guaranteed the best life in their next birth. So our point is, why take another chance? I may be misled again. Our determination should be to finish this business, this life. One life. Let me be strict in following the discipline and regulative principles. Although it is inconvenient, I must do it to solve my problems. That is determination. Do you think that solving the problem of birth, death, old age and disease is a very easy task? Then Prabhupada laughs. You have to be very, very strongly determined. Then, so I'm jumping over a few. You can have God realization under this tree if you have firm determination. Please, Prabhus, hear this again. You can have God realization under this tree. Some tree, Prabhupada must be walking and points towards a tree. If you have firm determination, anywhere you stay. But the temple is the ordinary way facility. If you are elevated, you may not come to the temple, but ordinarily for the neophytes, they must come to the temple. Why does he not come? Does he think that he has become very elevated? That is false. Haridas Thakur didn't go to the Jagannath temple, but Jagannath was coming to him. So if you are strong like Haridas Thakur, that is one thing. But if you falsely imitate Haridas Thakur, then you go to hell. We should not falsely think, now I am advanced and elevated, I can do whatever I like. Krishna consciousness is not difficult. The determination to be Krishna consciousness is difficult. Please hear this again. Krishna consciousness is not difficult. The determination to be Krishna consciousness is difficult. One knows how to love another, so instead of loving so many others, one can very easily take to the business of loving Krishna. This is determination. That much is required. So, there is a question by a devotee. If someone has inquired about God, how can he be overpowered by Maya, Srila Prabhupada? If you are strong, then Maya will not be able to overpower you. Anyone who is fully surrendered to God, Maya cannot touch him. So the devotee asked a question. How does one become strong? I think you might have asked this question also yourself. Srila Prabhupada, that we have given. Be strict in following the regulative principles. Chant Hare Krishna, that's all. And if you neglect, then you will become weak. To remain strong is not difficult, but we don't want to remain strong. That is our decision. We were talking yesterday on this. We voluntarily become weak. Then Maya catches. Come on. Devotee, is it necessary to see the deity regularly in order to remain strong? Srila Prabhupada, yes, everything is necessary, as we have prescribed. If you think that it is not necessary, then you are under Maya. Why do you ask, is it necessary? That means you are not strong enough. You cannot follow. Therefore you asked, is it necessary? You are considering. That means you are becoming prey to Maya. As soon as you ask this, that means you have already fallen victim to Maya. So this is a very important point. Prabhupada, this is one of the places in Prabhupada's teachings where he says that every following all the rules and regulations, seeing the deities, everything is important. We should not question back that, oh, can I, I'm a preacher, can I leave this, huh? Everything is important. So anyways, I thought to just read this because this entered my stone-like heart when I read it, and I just thought this should be quoted in a lecture so we can all receive transcendental enlightenment from this. We want to stop here. Other questions? Good. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Man unten auf der Straße und macht einen Schmutz auf der Straße, nicht? Also mit anderen Worten, man tut immer die Folge einer Tätigkeit in Augenschein nehmen und somit ein intelligentes menschliches Leben führen. Nicht? Ich würde so versuchen einzugehen, dass man sagt, Tätigkeiten haben eine Konsequenz. Und jemand, der intelligent ist, berechnet diese Konsequenz und lebt ja in dieser Weise, in gewisser Weise, macht sich Gedanken um die Zukunft. Genauso wissen wir, wenn wir hier einfach rumspielen wie kleine Tiere, nicht, oder kleine Kinder, dann werden wir niemals letztendlich in die Krishna, in die spirituelle Welt erhoben werden. Diesen Nutzen, den man einfach erfährt, indem man sich gehen lässt, in den Alltag gehen lässt, nennt man Preyas, der immer dem Shreyas, das heißt den Nutzen, den man auf lange Sicht erfährt, gegenübergestellt werden kann. So, der höchste Nutzen der menschlichen Lebensform ist es nicht, dass wir was Gutes zu kochen kriegen oder dass wir uns mit Sexualität ergötzen, wie diese Hier und Jetzt Leute immer sagen, sondern dass wir durch die Kontrolle unserer Sinne und durch die Aufnahme echten spirituellen Wissens tatsächlich zurückgehen können in die spirituelle Welt. Das Grund. Viele Leute sagen, ja, die Wünsche nach Selbstverwirklichung sind genauso wie die auf der gleichen Stufe wie die Wünsche nach Geld. Weil in beiden Fällen versucht man etwas zu erlangen, was man nicht hat. Aber diese Philosophie geht davon aus, dass es nur materielle Wünsche gibt. Mit anderen Worten, dass alle Wünsche materiell sind. Es gibt jedoch auch spirituelle Wünsche, von denen diese Heinis noch nicht viel wissen. Nee. So würde ich sagen, ich würde über Shreyas und Preyas sagen. Sorry, ich bin jetzt nicht, kann das nicht so dynamisch vortragen, weil ich jetzt erstmal selber mir überlegen muss, was ich da sage und habe so die Art meiner Vortrage ist sehr sachlich. Du musst natürlich ordentlich Feuer reinbringen. Du bist doch in der Dunkelheit der Unwissenheit. Du musst sofort raus und dann viel beim Predigen ist einfach Dynamik und Persönlichkeit, nicht? Die du reinbringst. Das ist nicht das Wiederholen von sachlichen Argumenten. Wie kannst du nur so etwas sagen? Ist das ein Idiot, der sieht, dass es draußen kalt ist, dass der eine Jacke anzieht? Ist der einer, der nicht im Jetzt lebt? Jetzt ist es ja noch warm. Nicht? So musst du solche Beispiele musst du geben. Wie redet einander Goswami? Immer feste drauf. Nicht? Derjenige, der sieht, es regnet und einen Regenschirm einsteckt, hat einen Vogel? Nein, er sieht die Realität und stellt sich auf sie ein. Das menschliche Leben hat ein bestimmtes Ziel. Und wenn man das verspielt im Hier und Jetzt, indem man einfach seinen tierischen Instinkten nachgeht, rumspielen und rumprajalpan, also rumblödeln, dann wird man dieses Ziel niemals erlangen können. Stimmt's, Badumangel? Badumangel ist manchmal ganz gut im Pratschalpa. Könnt es mal ausprobieren. Gut. Bist du zufriedengestellt, Adishesh? Nicht wirklich. Doch? Noch jemand? Gaurachandra. Ja. Nicht jeder kann Krishna bewusst werden. Damit ist tatsächlich gemeint, dass es hohe Ansprüche erfordert, bis man die Krishna bewusst ist und zurück zu Krishna geht. Aber jeder kann ja Hare Krishna chanten. Stell dich in Nürnberg hin und sag ganz laut, Hare Krishna! Hast du vielleicht, weil du hast eine sehr laute Kehlkopfstimme, die du besonders beim Lachen anwendest, sodass man total erschreckt ist, wenn man in deiner Nähe sitzt. Wenn du mit der Stimme Hare Krishna singst, boah, dann kriegen das Leute 500 Meter weit weg. Nicht? Der heilige Name kann also überall gehört werden, aber nicht jeder kann kann unbedingt vielleicht Krishna bewusst werden. Das ist schon eine gewisse Art. Ich meine, das fällt immer wieder ein. Wir hatten, jeder von den Devotees, der hier sitzt, weiß effektiv mehr, selbst Norbert, weil du bist nur erst so jung dabei, weiß mehr als viele Leute, die sich so intellektuell, so spekulativ mit spirituellen Dingen befassen. Die sagen zum Beispiel, die Seele macht Fortschritt im spirituellen Leben. Stimmt gar nicht. Die Seele ist immer unberührbar, unbewegbar. Es ist was anderes, was da Fortschritt macht. Die haben mit anderen Worten kein... Du findest heute kaum eine Unterscheidung zwischen materiellem Wissen und spirituellem Wissen. Das ist nicht so klar, weil die Leute sich einfach von der Unterweisung Krishnas getrennt haben und sich spekulativ in irgendwelche Halluzinationen geflüchtet haben. Und deswegen ist jeder Devotee was. Aber wer ist bereit, ein Devotee zu werden? Ich kann mich deutlich daran erinnern, als an diese Geschichte. Da kamen einige Inder, Hare Krishna, da kamen einige Inder in den zum Zug, zu Prabhupada, zum Zugabteil. Und sie sagten, oh Prabhupada, Ashivat, Ashivat, Ashivat. Ashivat heißt, dass man um materielle Segnungen sich bemüht. Ein schönes Haus, viel Geld, Ansehen und so weiter. Und der Prabhupada zu einem, so geht man zu einem heiligen Menschen in Indien. Man fragt ihn um seine Segnung. Mach das mein Kind. Große Hanteln hochstemmen kann und solche Sachen. Und dann sagte Prabhupada, die kommen immer nur wegen materieller Segnungen. Und sagte dann zu den Indern, ich segne euch, dass ihr so werden könnt wie diese Devotees hier. Und da waren sie doch alle sehr vorsichtig. Also, Gentlemen, der Zeitpunkt ist gekommen, dass wir uns verabschieden. Und waren schon schnell weg. Sie wollen alle nur materielle Segnungen haben. Sie wollen sich weiter im Königreich der Illusion verstricken. Und insofern, schau dich um, sind nicht so viele da, die wirklich Krishna bewusst so werden sollen. Aber für die gibt es das Vanashram-System, nicht? Grab doch mal um für Krishna. Oder und kriegst auch Kartoffeln zur Belohnung. Nicht? Und solche, auf dieser Ebene sind die meisten Leute, dass sie durch ihre Tätigkeit einen materiellen Nutzen haben wollen. Das kann man ja auch krishnaisieren sozusagen. Gut, ich glaube, wir sind hier zu einem gesunden Ende gekommen, oder? Ist das dir klar? Ist nicht so eine großartige Antwort, aber jeder kann es hören, aber nicht jeder wird es praktizieren können. Ich meine, wir müssen uns damit dieses reine Krishna-Bewusstsein in der Art und Weise, wie es Vaishnavas ausführen, wird nicht für jeden Kunst und Hans sein. Zum Beispiel, wenn du den zum Beispiel sagst, den Leuten, die sich mal interessieren, allein die sich interessieren fürs spirituelles Leben, und du sagst, du keine unzulässige Sexualität, bitteschön, das ist nicht ein bisschen unzivilisiert, diese Tätigkeit, da wärst du schon viele lange Gesichter sehen. Nicht? Oh, können wir das nicht mehr machen. Nicht? Da sind die, mit anderen Worten, an diesem einfachen Sache, da scheiden sich schon die Gemüter, sogar im Krishna-Bewusstsein, habe ich gehört. Das ist schon schwierig. Gut. Orgel ist der Schülerpaar.